changing. Some of it are halachic, some of it are musar, some of it are inspirational, aspirational, and different styles. I'll try to introduce also and feature some of the new Haggadahs that came out this year. So you have an idea maybe what to pick up if you're heading to the Judaica store. Like the Oprah Haggadah Book Club we're starting today.
Okay. Let's begin. We got 34 to cover. And food to eat. Oh, good to see you. Come on in. How are you?
Good, good.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Let's start with why the simanim. Why do we have simanim at the same? Simanim are the beginning. When we say kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz, why do we have the simanim? So the first idea comes from Rav Eliyahu Baruch Shulman. He's a YU Rosh Yeshiva, and he just put out a new Haggadah, Yisamach Av Haggadah. And he shares a very interesting insight.
Baruch
Eliyahu? Rav Eliyahu Baruch. Is Baruch Eliyahu YU? I could be wrong. I think it's Rabbi E.B. Shulman. Right? Something like that. Fine. So he says like this, beautiful idea. And he really turns the whole idea of the idea of Heseba reclining on its head. Why do we recline at the Pesach Seder? Anybody, why do we recline?
Like kings.
Like kings, derecheres, freedom. He spins it a little differently and it's great. The idea of reclining first comes up in Gemara Brachas, where the Gemara tells us that the way to establish a kvias. Kvias means that we're all sitting at this table together and you could be motzi me in the hamotzi. The way to establish kvias is everyone reclines. So what's reclining? Reclining, according to Brachas, is not so much a function of freedom, but it's a function of how to establish kvias at a meal. Kvias means permanence at a meal. With that being said, that's the freedom. Meaning, the freedom is that you can have a meal together. A slave can't have a meal with 10, 12 people sitting around at a table. That's the kvias. Come on in, take a packet, come on in. So now here comes his idea. I'll say that again, and I have a little three lines over there on the first page so you see that. The reason we recline, we always thought was because reclining symbolizes you're free. Look how you can sprawl out. No, according to the Gemara Brachos, reclining shows that we're all at this meal together. Says Rav Shulman, that's why it's a symbol of freedom. Because it's the way you establish and show that this meal is for all of us together. Now, the Gemara says, if you didn't do Heseba, you could say a line that also collects everyone together. And that's Nezel v'Nechal. I have it there in the second source. The exact words, Nezel v'Nechal, let us come eat. Here, the Gemara in Bracha says, Kagon da'amar Nezel v'Nechal lachma b'derach plan. Let us come and eat right here. If the head of the household says, come, let us eat right here, let us stay together, that also has effectuated a kvias. Again, kvius means that I can say hamotzi for everyone at the table. It works for everybody. If that's the case, he says, now I have an answer why we do the kadesh, urchatz, karpas, when we go through the whole thing. You're saying a formula that collects us all together as a group first. That formula, when you all get up and you say kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz, we never do an index of a book at a Jewish holiday. What are you doing? You're reading the table of contents before you give? Says Rabbi Shulman, it's not the table of contents. It's you as the head of the Seder or the people at the table establishing that we are eating together. We are forming a meal together, and only people who are free can do that. Only people that can exhibit a sense of cheres are capable of doing that. So one way to do that is to recline. One way to do that is to introduce the meal in a way that collects everyone together. That's the first idea, why we say the simonim of the Seder. Second idea, go to idea number two, flip the next page. This is an explanation why some have the custom to wear the kittel, right? The white garment that some people, head of the household, wear at the Seder. Why do you wear a kittel? So one classic answer is from the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya says it symbolizes the clothing they're going to bury you in when you die. It's a very gruesome, grim, but you know what? That theme is at the Seder as well. You know where else? The egg. The egg also symbolizes that idea of cycle of life, end of life. So that's the Baal HaTanya. Famous answer on the opposite side is the Netziv, who says that that this night's like Yom Kippur, and therefore we wear the white on Yom Kippur. New answer from Rav Eliyahu Baruch Shulman in his Haggadah. Last idea I'll share with you of his, great Chiddush. The Gemara in Tanis tells us that when Moshe was inaugurating the initial services in the Mishkan, the temple, when Moshe was doing that, he wore white clothing. Why? So he could be like a Kohen who's a non-Kohen. He wasn't really a Kohen anymore. His brother Aaron was a Kohen. But he had to do Kohen-like jobs. So he needed to wear a white clothing. Rav Shulman says, what you see from here, what's the clothing you're supposed to wear when you're doing the stuff a Kohen typically does, but you're not a Kohen? It's the white clothing article. On Pesach night, every Jew became a Kohen. How do we know that? They sprinkled the blood on their doorposts. They all slaughtered the Korban Pesach. Everybody became their own Kohen. Everybody became their own Kohen on Pesach night. And therefore, that's why you wear the white. Because the clothing article of somebody who's functioning as a Kohen, even though by birth he is not a Kohen, is the white baget, is the kittel. It's an original idea from Rabbi Shulman. All good, why we wear the kittel. Come on in, enjoy. Now, we have a very unique opportunity this year. We're getting our first night of the Pesach Seder, a Shabbos Kiddush. We're getting a Shabbos Kiddush. So let's move away for a moment from halachic ideas into a beautiful story, a mashal. This comes from Rav Yankel Galinsky. Rav Yankel Galinsky is the great storyteller of Bnei Brak, and you could find this in source number 5. Go to source number 5. Source number 4. Source number 4. Says Rav Yankel Galinsky, we have a Shabbos Kiddush. Let me tell you something amazing about a Shabbos Kiddush. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, whoever says Vayechulu, Vayechulu is the added paragraph of the Shabbos Kiddush, whoever says Vayechulu becomes a Shutaf L'maisa Bereishis. You become a partner in the creation of the universe with God. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos says. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara in Shabbos also tells us that anyone can get whatever they ask for. Kol hama'aneg et ha'Shabbos. Whoever enjoys the Shabbos, nosten lo kol mishalas libo. God answers all their requests. So you have two Gemaras. Take them for a moment here. One, that when you say by Yechulu at Kiddush, you join God in becoming partners in creation. Number two, after that, if you enjoy the Shabbos, you get whatever you want on the Shabbos. Okay? Those two. What do they got to do with anything? Listen to this mashal from Rav Yankel Galinsky. It's a wonderful mashal. Two patrolmen are walking through town and they see a new tower, a high rise going up. They see the high rise going up. And one guy says to the other, whose is this? He says, you see that guy over there? That's the entrepreneur. That guy's one of the wealthiest guys in town. All of a sudden they see someone coming out of the building who's working on the building, turn to the entrepreneur and says, I need $1.2 million right now. Entrepreneur takes out a checkbook, writes it up and says, go, take it, it's yours. The patrolman says, we gotta get on this. So he says, Mohinder, I'm going over there to ask for mine. So he walks over there to the guy, the patrolman comes over and says, sir, I need $1.2 million right now. And the entrepreneur looks at him and says, get out of here, what are you doing, crazy, get away from me. The patrolman comes back to the other guy and says, Mohinder, what did I do wrong? I did the same thing the other guy coming out of the building did. He says, you fool. That other guy's his partner. It's his shutuf, it's his partner. When the partner says he needs money, he knows he's using it for the development of one of the buildings. So he writes him a check right away. You have no shaykhus over here. You have no relationship over here. What's he giving you the money for? The nimshal then could be understood. When we testify that God created the world, we become partners in the project. We say, God, you're the entrepreneur. We're on your team. That explains the second Gemara, that whoever enjoys the Shabbos, God says, I'll give you whatever you want. I understand that you're using your resources for good things. I'll give you whatever you need. And that's what he gives him. That's Rav Yankel Galinsky, a beautiful mashal to explain a Shabbos Kiddush. Let's keep going. The fourth idea. Here we go, the fourth idea.
Good.
What?
Good. Five.
No. The sources are five, but this is the fourth idea. The sources move differently than the number I'm up to. So actually go to source number 6 on the page, and it's the fourth Dvar Torah. This comes from the Pittsburgher Rebbe. I haven't yet quoted the Pittsburgher in any of the Haggadah Shirim. This is new. Did we last time we did Pittsburgh? Stachin. Oh, you like quoted a Pittsburgher today. Very good. Oh. Thank you, Devon. Okay, this is a good one. This is Halach Ma'anya. If you notice, I gave you a source that has a Nusach Svarim that has a different girsa. Instead of saying Halach Ma'anya, it says sometimes Yeshomrim Kepa. This is like the poor man's bread.
So some Haggadahs, if you'll open them up, say halach ma'anya, this is the poor man's bread. Some say kehalach ma'anya, like the poor man's bread. Ask the Pittsburgher Rebbe, what's the machlokis about? The opinion that says, like the poor man's bread, like the poor man's bread, is saying this is not mamish what they had in Egypt, it's a recreation of what they had in Egypt. How do you explain then the mainstream interpretation that we use, halach ma'anya, in most of our Haggadahs? This is the poor man's bread. So we know the Rambam tells us that chayev adam lira sesatzmo, that a person's obligated to see themselves ki ilu yatsa ata mimitzrayim, as though you're leaving right now from Egypt. Meaning, according to the Rambam, this is not ki ilu. Ki ilu means as if. It's not a play you're putting on. It's not a show. You're literally right now leaving Egypt, and therefore that would explain why our Haggadahs say halach ma'anya and not kehalach ma'anya. Kehalach ma'anya means we're putting on a show, we're mimicking something. Halach ma'anya means that mamish, this is really happening to us right now. We're experiencing the Yetzia in real time. That's the Pittsburgher Rebbe. Okay, next, here we go. Let's go a little bit of Radomsk. Radomsk, this is the year of the Radomsker. Those who hear my stuff know that this year I've been focusing on the Radomsker Rebbe. I found so many good Haggadah gems scattered in his Sfarim. So here we go. The Radomsker says as follows. What? Shlomo Radomsk was a Polish Hasidic Rebbe. You look at number 8 in the page. Yeah, turn to the top of page 4. I underlined the part I want you to focus on. It says, Hashtahacha. Now we're here, Lashana Haba Ba'arid Israel, next year in Israel. Hashta Avde, now we're slaves, Lashana Haba B'nei Chorin, next year we're free. So in Hebrew grammar, in Chazal literature, you have something called Kefel Advarim B'milim Shono, a repetition of the idea in different words. Could be a poetic style, but it seems like it's getting at something more. Again, it's a double style. Now we're here, next year Israel. Now we're slaves, next year free. What's that relationship trying to tell us? The relationship of now we're here, matched up with now slaves, next year in Israel, next year free. What is it trying to get at? What is the line trying to teach us anything different? So he says, right now, the way we serve God, by and large, is because out of duty, out of responsibility. I have to. I'm a servant of God. I gotta do it. I have obligations. I have responsibilities. But the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Al tehei ke'eved ha-mishamshin es-arav al-menach le-kabal pras. Don't be like a slave who does things just to receive a reward. Don't be that. You want to take your relationship to a higher level where you're serving God out of love because you want it, not because you have to. So says the Radomsker, that's what it means. Hashta hacha, now we're here. While we're here in Gullis, most of us are doing the actions we do because we feel like we have to community, to family, to God, we have to. So we're like, now we're slaves, that's what it means. Now we're slaves. Next year in Israel, we're going to really truly experience what it means to serve God, not only as avdus, but rather as out of love, out of b'nei chorin, out of because this is a choice we're making in our lives. And that's the higher level we all aspire to in the relationship between here and redemption. Slaves versus children, or versus those who are choosing the relationship, slightly different.
So without the redemption, you say you can't have that?
No, I think you would say like this. Without the redemption, so much of our avoda is on a level of responsibilities and obligations. It's a higher level to get to where we feel it in that way. But next year, God willing, it'll be purely, dominantly that way. That's how I would say it over the Seder. Next idea. We just had Radomsk. Now we want to move over to Rav Schwab, the new Haggadah of the year. Two big Haggadahs, two hottest selling Haggadahs this year. Well, the pre-download of the Trump Haggadah you can get. So that doesn't count. But there's the two highest selling Haggadahs this year, my own statistic, is the Rav Shimon Schwab Haggadah. Rav Schwab was the head of the German Breuers community. You've met Rav Schwab. So the head of the Breuers, the Yekid community, and the other one's the Rabbi Frank Haggadah, which we'll get to shortly. What? You bought both? Who got both? Okay, you would have won a big prize tonight. Okay.
So Rav Schwab says the following idea. I took one idea out from the Rav Schwab Haggadah. He was famous for really promoting the concept of Torah in Derech Eretz. Torah with a livelihood, Torah in Derech Eretz, the great German Rav, Rav Shimon Schwab. Here we go. He says, on Ma Nishtana. On Ma Nishtana, it says that right at, we say Avadim Hayinu, we were Avadim Hayinu, that we were slaves. Ma Nishtana. He says, so many of the themes, if I asked you what's the main theme on Pesach night, I think almost everybody here would answer, what would you answer? Main theme Pesach night.
Freedom.
Freedom, right? Freedom. He says, and look at it, the matzah symbolizes our freedom, the dalet koso symbolizes our freedom. He says, that's a mistake. It's completely wrong. The four questions of the Ma Nishtana are asking the following. This is his own interpretation, original. He says, they're asking, if it's really about freedom tonight, why do I have to do the matzah? Why do I have to recline? Why do I have to have the mar? Why do I have to do these things? Why? The answer is Avadim Hayinu. The purpose of the Exodus was not to take you from slavery into Hefker. Free, enjoy yourself, have a great time, get out of here. No, the purpose of the Exodus was solely to remove you from the subjugation and servitude of the Egyptian to a higher order, and that was in the service of the king. You're still Avadim. You haven't lost the identity of Avadim, but now your Avadim has shifted from a negative sense of serving the Egyptians to the flip side, which is the positive sense of being an Eved Hashem, a privilege to be in the service of God. That's why the night is filled with obligations, not because the purpose of the evening is to remove yourself. Eric Fromm, the philosopher, writes that freedom from law and rule is no freedom. It's no freedom. Look at the book Lord of the Flies, right? Lord of the Flies is the opposite. You saw what happens. Man in a state of nature is chaos. But you have to have a law and an order that comes from a holier and a higher place. So we went from Avodim to Mitzrayim to Avdei Hashem Hayinu, to become Avodim of Hashem, and that's Rav Schwab. It fits with Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab was very into duty, responsibility. You're doing things good by Hashem. It fits also nicely with what the Pittsburgher, the Radomsker said before, how the main avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now, until the Mashiach comes, is the level of Avdus. The future, the dominant, will be that intense relationship where I can't wait to do everything and serve God and I can't get enough. Okay, let's go next idea. Next idea comes from Rav Chaim Palagi, the Turkish Gaon Sephardic Talmud Chacham. Rav Chaim Palagi was one of the greatest, maybe the most significant Talmud Chacham ever to come from Turkey itself. Rav Chaim Palagi. He has a very interesting insight. He's commenting on the Ma Nishtana Kulanu Misubim, right? Why on this night, everyone, Kulanu Misubim, we're all reclining. Why didn't the Haggadah say, Balayla Hazeh Misubim, we recline? Why the Kulanu? Why the Kulanu? And he says something very interesting I never thought of before. He says, when you read the Haggadah, you have to, what? Some people don't recline. Some people don't recline. You know that someone who's in Avelus, right? There's a din that in Avelus you don't recline either. A Rebbe by his Talmud, a Talmud by his Rebbe does not recline either. There are those who don't recline. So for sure, why do you say that word, Kulanu? Says Rav Chaim Palagi, great insight. He said that when you read the Haggadah, you have to have your back eye on the Talmud. Because the people who put together the Haggadah were the ones who lived in the times of the Gemara, were piecing together Gemaras. So you have to read it with the same types of eyes. When you see that phrase, Kulanu, if you're someone who learns Gemara, what phrase comes to mind when you hear Kulo? What Gemara phrase comes to mind? Rubo Kakulo. You know what Rubo Kakulo means? Rubo Kakulo means when you have the majority, it's like you have the whole thing. For example, you have a similar variation. The last day of Shiva, people get up the beginning of the seventh day. Wait, you just cut out the whole day? So there's a concept of Miktsa Sayom Kakulo. Once you get a portion of the day, you got the whole thing. Rubo Kakulo, says Rav Chaim Palagi, that's why the Haggadah chose the Lashon of Kulanu. We're all. But we're not all reclining. We're all means Rubo Kakulo. The dominant majority is actually in a state of reclining because that's the language of the Talmud. You have to know how the Talmud speaks when you read the Haggadah. I actually got this year. A Haggadah, I got three new Haggadahs this year. One Haggadah I got this year was called the Polychrome Haggadah.
The polychrome Haggadahs of Amazon, not inexpensive. It takes every single line of the Haggadah, color codes it a different color, and shows you where that line came from. Which page in the Gemara, which Medrash, how it all got stitched together. So you see this Haggadah, and it looks like so easy, but someone spent, Chazal spent a lot of time stitching together all the right pieces from all over the Midrashim and all over Shas.
Okay, let's continue. Let's continue along. Idea number 8. I want to go back to the Pittsburgh Rebbe. I love this one. This might be one of my top 5 favorite ideas of the night. Yes? Yes, that would be very helpful. Good. Let us go to source number 11. Chaviva, yes.
Which
Haggadah? Shkoyach. Number 7, the Pittsburgh Rebbe. Not on the Haggadah. Pittsburgh Rebbe.
No, which line? Which, what type of Haggadah had the line highlighted?
Polychrome. It's source number 11 on the page, and it says Pittsburgh below. Page 5, source 11. That's what I'll do now. Before we get to it, I'll say page, source, and I won't keep count of how many Divrei Torah we're up to. That's just throwing everybody off. Okay. It says in the Haggadah, Kol Hamar V'Lesaper V'Yetzias Mitzrayim, whoever talks a lot about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Harei Zeh Meshubach. That's an amazing thing. That's very praiseworthy if you talk a lot about it. Okay? And then the Gemara tells you the story of the 5 rabbis in Bnei Brak who spent the whole night, and the students had to come in and wake them up. The students have to come in and tap them and say, it's time for Kriya Shema. Guys, you're talking and learning, you're losing yourself. Says that, this is so good. Says the Pittsburgh Rebbe, what's the connection between the two? This is the connection between the two. I'm told whoever speaks, the more you speak, the better it is. Rabbi, how much is that? What's the amount? When you tell me to take it, shake a lulav, I know how much that is. When you tell me to give charity, I know it's ideally supposed to be a tenth of what I have. Every mitzvah, I know how much it is. When it comes to talking about Egypt, Rabbi, what does this mean? Kol hamar v'lesaper. What's the measurement? The Haggadah is telling you the ideal measurement is not a quantity. It's not a quantity. It's a quality. It's to lose yourself so much in the story that the person next to you needs to tap you and say, are you still with us? Are you? It's Shema time now. That's the answer. The answer is, how much should I do? Until you get to a space where you're lost in Mitzrayim itself. The answer, that's why the Haggadah tells you a story of 5 rabbis going on a night in Bnei Brak. Why? It's telling you what's the ideal. What makes this amazing? It now answers a famous question. The Gemara in Tana says, "Mishenichnas Adar marbe b'simcha." When Adar comes, we increase the joy. Rashi says there were no greater days of joy than Adar and Nisan. Why did Rashi add Nisan? The Gemara was talking about Adar. Answers the Pittsburgh Rebbe, because there's something very similar about Purim and Pesach. Purim has Agdalo Yada. You're supposed to lose yourself in the moment of Purim. Says the Pittsburgh Rebbe, that's not just the Purim thing. On Purim, you lose yourself in the moment through the Simcha and the wine. On Pesach, you lose yourself through the story. You lose yourself. That's also, if he's saying, it's also an Agdalo Yada. It's a beautiful idea. The Pittsburgh Rebbe's Agdalo Yada. That's it. Someone asks you, do you know where the Pittsburgh Rebbe has Agdalo Yada? Purim and Pesach. Pesach is the key. You got to lose yourself in the story. Okay. Now, let's go next. We are now on page 5, source 12. This is Rav Sholem Shwadron. Rav Sholem Shwadron was the great storyteller of Yerushalayim. Rav Sholem Shwadron, a great maggid, he says the following. I once went to pick him up to bring him to yeshiva in Israel. And when I picked him up, he came out with a wooden cane. And he said to me, Rak Rega. He left, went back into the house, came out with a gold cane. I said, what's going on? He said, Amerikayim. He was speaking to Americans that like the flashy stuff. Says Rav Sholem Shwadron, they just came out with this new sefer on Shmos. They just put it together. This is a good one for the plagues. The plagues, you have a little lull at the table, you know, to throw a little one in there. By the plagues, it says, look at the pasuk there, source 12. Vayomru hachartumim el paro. Etzpe elokimu. This is the finger of God. Vayachazak leif paro. And the paro's heart hardened. V'lo shama aleihem kasher diber Hashem. And he would not listen to them as God spoken. God said he's not going to listen. And what happens is, this is the plague of the lice. Right after the lice, the kinim, he goes straight into the next plague of the wild beasts. So ask Rav Shalom Shvadran, how come this... What? But he goes straight from here to Arad. He goes straight from here in sequence, straight into it. So Rav Shalom Shvadran says, how come the lice never went away? All the other plagues were told it went away. By the frogs, Visaru et Tzvardeim. After it was done, the frogs went away. Every plague always has a resolution and the next one. He says something here so fundamental. You know what it is? He says there's something in this pasuk that was different than all the others. Paro never asked for help here. He never asked for help. The other times he said, Moshe, have your God please stop this. Please put this away. Let this not continue. He asked for each time. The message here is, if you don't daven, if you don't ask, you don't get. You have to be mevakesh. You have to request. You have to ask. You have to take the time and stop and daven for it and request it in order for that change to happen. And because by this plague, Paro just went straight to that stiff part of this, it goes straight into the next plague without interruption. And it's never removed. Because you need to daven for it to change. I heard a great bar Torah from the Nicholsburg Rebbe. You could tie into this. The Nicholsburg Rebbe on the prayer, Shema Kolenu. The famous prayer that we say by Slichas when you open up the ark. You say, Shema Kolenu. God, hear our voice. He says, you know the problem with that prayer? The problem is, we're saying, God, hear our voice. More often than not, when we're davening, we don't have a voice. We don't even know what we're asking for. We have nothing on our mind that we're davening about when we say Shema Kolenu. We're busy worrying about what everybody else is thinking and what they think of me and how they're going to judge me. That's Shema Kolenu. Before you can ask God to listen to your voice, you need to know what your own voice actually is. And that's the word here as well. Paro could not remove the lice until he knew that this was paining him. Let me turn and ask God for help. Let me ask even Moshe to stop the kingdom over here, and then it'll go away. Let's go next. We go now to source number 13. This Dvar Torah comes from Rav Pinto. I definitely have not had Rav Pinto yet on the Haggadah Shir. So this is a new one. So we have the story of the five rabbis who were eating in Bnei Brak. Why were they all in Bnei Brak? This is tremendous. This is mamish a great chiddush. This is so unique and so different. Why were they all in Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva lived in Bnei Brak, but Rabbi Akiva was not their Rebbe. Rabbi Akiva was not the oldest of the group. Why did they go to him in Bnei Brak? It's a famous question. Answers Rav Pinto. Based on a famous Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us, Arba nichnas, oh, wow, that's good. Arba nichnasu bapardes. Four people entered into the pardes. Four people entered into the orchard. You know what the orchard is? The orchard is the access to the deepest realms of Torah. The Gemara tells us in Chagiga, four people went into the pardes, and only one came out unscathed. The only one who came out unscathed was Rabbi Akiva. Says Rav Pinto, that's why they went to him in Bnei Brak. On Pesach night, you're entering into the deepest realms of our tradition. You're entering mamish back into Mitzrayim. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov calls Mitzrayim the Chalal HaPanui, the black void. You're entering right into the black void when you step back into Egypt on Pesach night. When you go there in your mind, you're mamish back there in the court of Paro. You're in the heart of darkness. The only way you're going to make it through is if you hold on to the one who was able to enter into the Pardes and come out unscathed. And the Gemara tells us the only one who was able to do that was Rabbi Akiva. It's a great fort. And therefore they all went to learn from him, because as far as that was concerned, he was the Rebbe. And it fits beautiful, because how did they lose sense of what was going on? They're up the whole night, they're disoriented, they had to be told that it's Shema. I want to give a twist on Rav Pinto. Think about what's happening here. These rabbis went to Rabbi Akiva. Where does that mean they are right now? They're no longer in Bnei Brak.
about an hour into the Seder, they've entered into the Pardes. They're in the upside down world. They're in the I would say, the metaphysical side of Earth. You know, like some upside down universe. They're gone. They've lost all sense of time. They've lost all sense of space. That's why the Talmidim have to come in and say, wake up, it's time for Shema. Because they weren't here right now anymore. They were in the Pardes with Rabbi Akiva. That's the pshat in the Gemara. That's the pshat in the Gemara. That's the pshat over here on the Haggadah. Let's continue. Next. Number 14. Another Radomsker. One more Rav Shlomo Radomsk. The Haggadah tells us, source 14, page 6. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare Anika ben Shivim Shana. I was like a 70-year-old man, and I never was zocha to say Exodus at night until Ben Zoma came along and said, so that you shall remember the Exodus Kol Yamei Chayecha, all the days of your life. What is this doing in the Haggadah? This is an obligation of Kriya Shema. How to say Shema? It's already a discussion in Brachos. It's not a Haggadah subject. Answers the Radomsker. You ever wonder why Pesach is the only holiday where all the mitzvahs are stacked at night? Every Jewish holiday, the mitzvahs are stacked during the day. Shofar, during the day. Lulav, during the day. The Iker mitzvahs, the centerpiece mitzvahs, are during the day. But with Pesach, everything is front-loaded at night. Why is that? Says the Radomsker, the night of Pesach is not Halayla Hazos, it's Halayla Hazeh. This is the main night of the year. This is the night that changes everything. This is the night that influences everything else we're going to do for the rest of the nights of the year. That's how powerful this night. Halayla Hazeh. When you say that line in the Haggadah, Halayla Hazeh, you're acknowledging that this night changes everything. There's a line in Tehillim that the Satmar Rebbe loved on his Haggadah. It goes, Laila Kiyom Ya'ir. The night shined like the day. The night of Pesach was such clarity. There was such emunah in the air that it shined like the daytime. And that's the answer of Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Elazar ben Azariah said, whenever I said Shema at night, I didn't feel the Exodus until I learned that I have to lock in on Pesach night. If I lock in on Pesach night, it's going to transport me the rest of the year. No longer is my Shema every single night of the year a Stam Shema. The Shema the rest of the year is transformative and takes me to another world. So the Kavana that you have to have on Pesach night is really the Kavana that I am coming back to Mitzrayim and redeeming every single time I say Kriya Shema and I lock it in on Pesach night.
What about Purim?
What?
Yeah, but the poskim say that if you have only one Megillah reading to hear, the Iker reading is the day. The Iker reading is the day. Okay, let's continue. Next one.
Why do they mention
what?
Why do they mention
the Why do they mention what?
I was like a 7-year-old man.
What he's saying? Oh, the age. How does this tie in? I think it means I was so erudite and I never figured this out. After all my learning, I never figured out this one secret. I think that's the idea. Okay, let's go next. Here we go. We're flying now. Source number 15. This is from the Rav Sarutskin Haggadah. There's a Haggadah called the Rinas Yitzchak Haggadah. Great interpretation. He says, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam. There's a wise, there's a wicked, there's a simple, and one who doesn't know how to ask. Says Rav Sarutskin, it's off. It should say there's one who's wise, there's one who's not intelligent. Wicked is an emotional classification. Wisdom is a description of cognitive ability. There's a mismatch here. It should be Echad Chacham, Echad Tipesh, Echad Tam, whatever it is, but not Russia. Says Rav Sarutskin, such a great idea. He says the Haggadah is designed for you to teach it according to the language of the person that wants to receive it from you at that moment. The person you're looking at in the eyes, you know what happens? We have these Divrei Torah we want to say, and they're irrelevant of the people that we're looking at. I want to say it, I enjoyed it, I'm going to say it. That's not the purpose of the Seder. The purpose of the Seder is you need to connect with the person that's hearing what you're saying,
and say it in their language. So therefore, the descriptions of each of these children, says Rav Sarutzkin, is matching the cognitive relationship that you're going to have with each type of child. Now plug it in. There's one kid who's so sharp, chacham. That kid you're going to have to speak to with a good chacham. You're going to have to give them a good chacham, a good par Torah, a good, you know, a Rabbi Shulman board from his Haggadah with a new chiddush on why we recline. The Rasha is someone who's so rebellious in his thinking, you're going to need to give him something rebellious in the dialogue. I'll give you a rebellious dialogue, what that means. The Rebbe Rayatz, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Rayatz, before he became the Rebbe, he was a menahal, he was the head of a yeshiva. And when he was the head of the yeshiva, the administration wanted to throw out a kid there. There was a problem child who wasn't learning. And he was getting a lot of pressure to throw the kid out from the community. He went to his Rebbe, who was the Rebbe, his father, who was the Rebbe Rashab, and says, what do I do? The Rebbe Rashab says, it's right before Pesach. Have that kid clean all the desks out for chametz and have him check the svarim. Make sure that, no, keep him off the learning. Don't worry about the learning right now. Give him the job of checking all the svarim and cleaning the floor. Make a long story short, this is a letter from the Rebbe Rayatz. He says this kid became one of the top guys in the yeshiva. He went back to his father, the Rebbe Rashab, and says, what do you think turned him around? He says, there's no doubt. The job we gave him before Pesach. He goes, what's the shot? What does that mean? What does it mean? The school and cleaning? He says, no. You know what it means? This is such a great idea. I'm going to incorporate this a little bit in my Shabbos of El Joshua. This is such a great idea. What's his mind? His mind was rebellion. What's the idea of searching for chametz? The chametz is screaming at you, you can't find me. I dare you. You can't find me. You don't know where I am. I'm going to turn up in the middle of Pesach and ruin it all for you. That's what the chametz is saying to us. It doesn't speak, but it's the message it's giving off. You can't find me. The act of defiance by looking for the chametz is saying, no matter where you are, I am going to find you. I will find you, no matter how far. Right? Where's that from? Who's got the bikinis in that one?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
All right, very good. Extra prospect. Now, you will find the chametz no matter what. He says, I gave the rebellious kid the avoda that he needed. He needed Torah through rebellion, and that's what made him grow. It's a magnificent idea that what we give, you know, there's an idea, there's a conflicting idea, Belzer Rebbe and the Koshnitzer Magid. The Belzer Rebbe says, on Pesach night, our hearts are more open. The Koshnitzer Magid says, on Pesach night, our ability to express is more clear. They're two opposite ends of the coin. Meaning, why is it higher levels of Amunah on Pesach night? Because our hearts are more open. No, Koshnitzer Magid says the heart could be the same, but you become better at getting it in. You know how to get it in there because you're sharper on Pesach night. You put them both together and Amunah is infused on this evening because we're ready to hear and we're also ready to share. It's both sides of the coin. All right, let's continue the next one. Here we go. This might be my top three of the night. Top three in my opinion. This is from the Chasam Sofer. I want to thank Rabbi Joshua Hess, who sent me an email saying he found this hidden gem, and it's incredible. It's in one of the drushas of the Chasam Sofer. It's amazing. In order to tell this Dvar Torah over well, you need this pasuk in front of you. It's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. The pasuk means, B'yamim ahem lo yamru od avus achlu boser. In those days, they'll no longer say, parents ate sour grapes. V'shine banim tikena, and the children's teeth are blunted. It's a phrase even in modern Hebrew. It's like a neef. It's like a saying. The saying basically means this. I'll give you the background. They're going to say the parents have sour grapes and we're breaking our teeth. What does that mean? Says the Chasam Sofer, when you're giving over something, let's say from your youth that you remember, a story, right? You're telling it over and you're so excited about it. The kid's looking at you like you're crazy. They don't get why you're so excited about it. Why? They're missing the context. They're missing the nostalgia that's associated with it. If it's a Gemara, they're missing all the interpretations you've learned that makes this one idea stand out. So what they're hearing, imagine the frustration. You are sharing Torah with a smile on your face of joy, and they're hearing something that makes no sense. It's like, I'll tell you what it's like. You have a child who is dyslexic or suffers from some type of learning disability, and the teacher is giving over the information with such joy and excitement, and the kid just hears gibberish. The clash of the enjoyment on that person's face and me struggling is a killer. It's a killer.
Says the Chasam Sofer, that's what's happening with the father and the son who's a Rasha. This father was probably someone who learned Torah and enjoyed it, but he never bothered to explain to the kid why this line was so enjoyable to him. So what's happening to the kid? The kid is sitting there grinding his teeth from the stress. What's the line in this pasuk that's grinding the teeth? It's unbelievable. Says the Chasam Sofer, the word in Hebrew in this pasuk is Vishine Banim Tikena. The teeth of the children Tikena. It's the same word from the Haggadah. Haket Shinav. Blood of his teeth. Meaning it's the same thing that's going on at the Seder. Why is he a Rasha? Because Haket Shinav. You're making him stress over what you're doing. You're telling him all these different Torah at the Haggadah. You're making him keep all these halachas, but you haven't explained one thing. You haven't given over the love that you have for it over to the child. And therefore, it's just frustrating. And that's the word Haket Shinav. What you're doing is you're making him grind his teeth at the Seder. And therefore, that's why it's not going over. That's why it's not moving. Magnificent pickup from the Chasam Sofer to find that off the beaten word in Yirmiyahu and say that's what's going on in Har Haggadah.
Type of child?
What?
Are we talking about all the children?
The Russia. I mean, the one we call the Russia, what he's saying is a very Lubavitch defense. There's no Russia. The kid's a Russia only because you... You're not.
It's you.
Your perspective of him is a Russia because you're not giving it over right, and that's why he's coming out like this.
Why call the child the Russian, not the teacher?
What?
Why call the child the Russian, not the teacher? The
excellent, beautiful, amazing. Shkoyach. I think the idea here is it's talking about your perspective of it. What's happening from your vantage point? How you see it? Echad chacham, echad. How you see? How you are seeing the child? I think that's the chat. Let's go next. Source number 17 on the bottom of page 7. Bottom of page 7. I'm going to skip this one. Let's go next. This is too technical for right now. Let's go to... this year we lost Rav Steinman. So I want to give you a Rav Steinman shot. Go to source number 20. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman.
Number 14 though, right?
It's source number 20 on page 8. I'm skipping. Go to source number 8 on page 20. Page 8, source 20. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull an audible. Someone emailed me when they saw my advertisement for this. A rabbi in Teaneck, New Jersey, Rabbi Shalom Baum, a friend of mine, said you might want to throw this one in for Rav Steinman. So I didn't read his email yet. And maybe it's better than the one I was going to give you. So he says like this. That would be amazing if it's the same one, but I don't think so. Okay. Here it is. Rav Steinman on the Haggadah. So Rav Eliezer holds that the Pesach, the Matzah Afikoman, is eaten until Chatzos. Korban Pesach until Chatzos, midnight. But you continue L'saper Kol Halayla. Meaning, what do you take away from that? That the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not necessarily contingent upon when you're eating the Afikomen or the Korban Pesach. Ukenira sheyoser neis sheyishtana das b'nem sheyagish derech eretz ve'arichu odam tzir b'shonim ma'asher shealbinu sarasav b'derech neis va'az yitkablu dvarav. And it seems, what's a greater miracle, sheyoser neis sheyishtana das b'nei adam sheyagishu derech eretz ve'arichu odam tzir b'zeshon rozen azaria. I'm like a 70-year-old man, and when I was appointed as the leader, beautiful. I got it now. It's amazing. Why Rabbi Lazar, someone asked me, you asked why the age? Why the age? When Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah turned 70 and hit that age, he was the Rosh Yeshiva. In the schus of him serving the community, that's why he finally was able to understand what he couldn't understand before. Why is he telling you his age? He's telling you, when I hit this age and I became appointed as the Rosh Yeshiva, my work on behalf of the Tzibur and the Rabbim gave me the schus to understand a distinction that I did not understand before, that I could not perceive and couldn't understand. And he says, that's the great miracle of the Haggadah. And the lesson of the Haggadah, Rosh Steinman here says, is that the idea is, so it's two separate points he just put together for me. It's two separate Divrei Torah. The first one is that you see that the telling of the Haggadah is not tied into the Afikomen. Keep that separate for another shiur. But a second idea you could use at your Seder is that what you see is the fact that Muslim Nazari is saying, I finally got it, means you can only truly begin to understand Judaism when you serve the tzibur. That's the Gevaldik Dvar Torah. No man is an island. It's so true. The people that have cut them off from humanity have never become the Gedolim. The ones that have removed themselves from being involved in the tzibur. Rav Aaron Cutler was one of the greatest minds in history. He could have locked himself in and seen nobody and kept learning. But he worked on behalf of the tzibur and built Lakewood. And on behalf of that tzchus, he was able to grow in stature and grow in wisdom in chokhmah. Meaning, you think you're losing by giving your time for the tzibur? On the contrary, the time that you're giving to the tzibur will pay you back in spades, that you'll have a schus to be able to grow. That's the lesson here. I mean, that's an unbelievable lesson for the Haggadah. Why? Because what do we say about the Rasha? The Rasha, we say, Lefisha hotzias atzmo min haklal, because he pulled himself out from the group, kafar be'ikr, he denied an essential part of our faith. How? Because an essential part of understanding Judaism is you can't take yourself out of the community. You don't remove yourself from the tzibur. And that's the lesson from Rav Steinman. Beautiful Dvar Torah from Rav Steinman. Thank you to Rabbi Baum for sending me that. Okay, let's continue. Here we go, next. Oh, this is an incredible one. This is top three. Top three, here we go. It's not source 21, page 8. If someone asks you who this is, I have no clue. It was in this Haggadah called Yotzer Or. We couldn't figure out who the author was. And in there, he quotes his neighbor, whose name is Leibovich. So you say it over as, oh, in the Haggadah Yotzer Or has a neighbor named Leibovich. So in his neighbor, Leibovich had the following distinction. It's an awesome one. Okay. In the Haggadah, it says, "Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu." In the beginning, our forefathers worshipped idols. So there's two interpretations as to what that means. Simply said, you can say it's referring to Terach, Avram's father. He worshipped idols. And the Haggadah actually goes on to quote some psukim about Terach. Others say, no, it's referring to the beginning of what our fathers were up to in Egypt. They started going down a dark path in Egypt. Now, that one makes more sense because it's the Haggadah. Why are you bringing up the laundry from before Egypt in the time of Terach? I get you want to bring up what was happening in Mitzrayim, but why go back there to Terach? So says Leibovich, the neighbor of the Yotzer Or Haggadah. He says, you know why it makes sense to bring up Terach? There's an interesting halakha that I don't think you've ever heard of. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah in Yoredeya, brings the opinion of the Rivash. We don't paskin this way, but it is an opinion. If Nebuch, somebody lost their oldest child, there's a shita that says you don't sit shiva. Why? Because it's not your child. The oldest belongs to God. It is God's child. It's God's own lost. It belongs to God. The firstborn is in the service of God. It's God's own child. Says the neighbor, listen to this. Until we went through Mitzrayim, we belonged to our father Terach, who was filled with Avodah Zarah. We were his firstborn. But the moment we went through Egypt, we became Kili B'chori B'nei Yisrael. We became God's firstborn. At that moment, we switched over to becoming God's firstborn and changed our identity entirely. That's why it's in the Haggadah. You need to know, because on Pesach, we switched over from the realm of Terach's offspring to the realm of being the children of God. B'nei Elohim. The children of God. That's the Dvar Torah from Leibovich, the neighbor of the Yotzer or Haggadah. Okay, next. We are in source number...
22.
Yeah, source number 22, page 9. It says, blessed is God who keeps his promise. The great Mashkiach, Rav Chatzkel Levenstein's famous question, would we ever think that God is not going to keep his promise? Of course God is going to keep his promise. By definition, being of God is being perfect, and that's a promise. So answers Rav Chatzkel Levenstein. I'll give you this answer. Amazing. He says, God can honor his promise. God can honor his promise. And his promise is that I won't forget you. It's amazing. I won't forget you. Right? I'll honor my promise to you. I won't forget you. But I can't promise, right? What? And hypothetically, But even though God will keep his word, I'll say it better. God can keep his word that I will take you Jews out of Egypt. Of course God will keep that word. But who's to say that by the time the Egypt experience is over, there's any Jews left? What if we intermarried out? What if we completely lost our faith? What if we completely lost our religion? What if by the time Egypt is over, God says, I'm keeping my word, I'm ready to take you out. Who's here? Everyone's gone. That's Baruch Shomer Haftachaso. God will keep his promise so far that even in the sense he guarantees you will still be around to leave Egypt. Not, of course God will keep his word to take you out, but he will promise that you will even be around to be able to witness the Exodus, which is beyond God's promise. And that's the beauty of Baruch Shomer Haftachaso. Next one, the Pittsburgher Rebbe. One more from Pittsburgh. This is my favorite Pittsburgher of the night. Here we go. Number 23. B'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, a person has to see themselves as though they're leaving Egypt. He only interprets the word b'chol dor v'dor. What does the word dar mean in Hebrew? Dar means to live, to dwell. Wherever you live, you have to see yourself as getting out of Egypt. Whatever situation you're in, whatever point in history, whatever time in your life, whatever you're going through, right now you're leaving Egypt. It's an amazing. That's a powerhouse idea. What you can do with that, that you take that idea that any moment in your life that you're in, right now, anytime, b'chol dor v'dor, from Dalet Reish, wherever you're living, right now, you're having a yitziah. You're telling me you're having a problem with this? Your boss is difficult? Your boss is a difficult person giving you a headache? You have a yitziah right now. You're having a yitziah. You're able to step out beyond that, no matter what it is. That's b'chol dor v'dor. That's the Pittsburgher Rebbe. It's an amazing and gewaltig word. Pittsburgher's really come through for us tonight. Okay. Every year I like doing something from the Satmarov. Says the Satmarov as follows. Source number 24.
Page 10.
The Satmarov, as we know, was exceptionally anti-Zionist. This ties into that motif. The Dvar Torah is a good one. You could just apply it to the group you want to apply it to. So he says like this. He says that V'hi she'amda la'voseinu v'lanu. Right? Everybody talks about V'hi she'amda. It has stood for us. But no one talks about the end of the paragraph. He said, V'akadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu has saved us miyadam, from their hand. What hand? Whose hand? Whose hand? What hand? He says, you know what the hand is? It should have said mehem. If it was referring to the Egyptians, it should have said that he saved us from them. What's miyadam? From their hand? He says, you know what it is? It's from the money of the apikorsim, who we want to take their money. Right? He's saying the temptation to take the money of those who are lack of faith, those who don't believe, those who have heretical values, will take their money and will sell our souls to the devil. Says the Satmarav, that's matzilenu miyadam. You save us from their hand. We don't have to take their money. We don't have to take their help, their assistance, their support. We don't need it. Good luck with this bar toward the table. You can use it to get people arguing and fighting. That's all. It's good to get the blood boiling at the pace of Seder. That's the Divrei Yol Haggadah. Go to the next one. Okay.
He doesn't take money from the state?
Not the Satmarov. Okay. All right. Tse ulamad. This is the part in the Haggadah where you need a Dvar Torah, because it gets very hard. People start to run through it. You're beginning to lose people. They can't wait for the matzah and the chicken soup. This is the hard part. Oh, wow. This is the hard part of the Haggadah. Tse ulamad. Go out and learn. What does it mean, go out and learn? So I thought the following idea. As when we're in our younger stages, the whole world is bad guys and good guys. Bad guys and good guys. When you set up I remember as a kid setting up the He-Man set. There were only two teams. Bad guys and good guys. As you get older, you begin to realize there are multiple shades in between. Not so simple. And to understand that there are different degrees of darkness as well. I think that's the pshat in Tse Ulamad. Go out. Step out of your old way of thinking, ulamat. And now start learning and thinking about lovam, think about paro, and understand not every circumstance is the same. Not every scenario is the same. And there's different types of darkness. There's different challenges. Some are a lesser of two evils. Some are a better option. And we need to see it from that sophisticated vantage point. Why I like that approach is then explains what we're doing in the next 20 lines. It's very analytical because it wants us to understand the nature of what evil can be. Because sometimes someone who's more blatantly evil is less of a threat to Jews than the person who hides it. The one who will tell you to your face, I hate you. You know what you're dealing with. Someone once told me, you know, that the problem in the problem that the Persian Jewry faced among the Muslims in Iran is that you never know what you would get on a given day. You would get on a given day. Did you tell me this once? You would get on a given day that they're your best friends, everything is good, and suddenly you wake up the next morning and you're persona non grata. You're just not accepted. And that sometimes is the hardest pill to swallow. That's sometimes the hardest thing to deal with, but you don't see it coming. That's tse ulama. Tse means stop thinking of everybody as the same dark. You need to start looking at each one. Each paro was different than the one before, and each one is going to have its own approach in why they think the way we do. And it's very important that a Jew needs to see the world in that light. Now we come to what everybody's been waiting for. New rabbi, what's in the Rabbi Fran Haggadah? Right? It has its own plastic shrink wrap on it. It's a higher level when it's got a plastic shrink wrap. So the Rabbi Fran Haggadah came out this year, and I'm going to give you two gems from the Rabbi Fran Haggadah. The source one, we're out on number 26 on this one. In the middle of the dense section of all the drushas, it says, et amaleinu, and our work. Elu habanim, these are the children, the sons. As it says, kol haben hayelud hayeora, all the children who were born, tashlichu, throw him into the Nile. V'chol habat tachyun, and every girl you'll keep alive. Right? So throw him in, amaleinu. Don't forget, right? Et amaleinu, these were the children. The Haggadah tells you, remember the children. Remember the children. Says Rabbi Fran something amazing. After Bnei Yisrael were saved from the Egyptians at the splitting of the sea, Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, joins Bnei Yisrael with Moshe's wife and their two children. And at that moment, it tells you not only the names of the children, why they got the names they got. Why does the Torah tell the reason for Eliezer's name only when coming into the Midbar, right? And it says, V'shem ha'echad Eliezer, ki Elokei avi ba'azri v'yatzileni mecherev paro. Right? And the name that was Eliezer, the God of my father helped me, and he saved me from paro. Says Rabbi Fran, this is amazing. It's easy to be a leader and to forget about those closest to you. You're so busy taking care of the klal that you forget about the people that are at your own table. I have to worry about my klal Yisrael. I can't be busy with what this kid needs or what that kid needs or that problem. I can't deal with my children's micro problems. Yitro wanted Moshe to understand by bringing him the children closer. By reminding Moshe of the reason behind Eliezer's name, he was telling him, Moshe, this is amazing, had Hashem not paid close attention to you, where would you be? If God said, I don't have time for you, Moshe, where would you be? You're only the leader of Klal Yisrael today because, as you said, the God of my father came to my aid and he saved me from the sword of Paro. It's an amazing, Elu Habanim, don't forget the children. It's an amazing, get carried away in work, in business, being a success, being an entrepreneur, being this and being that. The key is to remember that it's all about the Mesorah, next generation, passing it down in terms of who we give it over, our friends, our family, those that we care most about, and those that are in our orbit.
Is that why we're talking about the four sons, so we don't forget the children?
Oh, amazing, Chaviva, amazing. Yavne, 8th grade, unbelievable. Shkoya. Okay. Next. Okay. Let's go to the idea from, you know, I'm going to skip to number 29. This is from Erica Brown. Dr. Erica Brown is an associate professor of George Washington University. She's incredible. You read her stuff on the 3 weeks and the 9 days. It's another level. Dr. Erica Brown. You Google her later on. You read her stuff. It's incredible. It's mamish incredible. So she says an amazing idea. Says like this. You'll never see the Haggadah the same way again after you hear this. It says the Haggadah is fascinating for what it says, but it's actually more fascinating for what it doesn't say. It tells our story of the exile and the exodus through the eyes of Chazal. Great. And it starts with slavery and moves to freedom. But if you notice, the slavery story it tells is weak on the details. This is source number 29, but I'm just reading to you what she wrote. We learned that we worked hard by Egyptian taskmasters, and suddenly we're singing songs and talking about the plagues. The suffering we went through lacks so much detail in the Haggadah and in the Torah. We know they hit us, but we don't know much else about what that suffering was like. We only have one word to truly describe our suffering. And she says, if you want to know what that is, it's in Shmos Perek Beis, right? And it says, and look over here in the Gemara in Ksuvos. The Gemara in Ksuvos, Samach Beis Amid Aleph says, Amar Rav, Anocha Shoveres Chatzi Gufo Shel Adam. A groan breaks half the body of a human being. In Sefer Shmos, we're told that when the Paro died and passed away, at that moment the Jews cried out and groaned. They cried out and groaned. She says, you want to summarize the entire slavery? You want to understand the truth of it? It's all summarized in that one groan. In that one sigh of pain is everything. What she does in her essay is amazing. She looks through numerous sources where it's all about the sigh. For example, look at Yecheskel, Perek 21, number 11. It says, Va'ata ben Adam, you human being, hey anach, sigh, b'shivar misnayim, with the crumbling of your limbs. The sigh. What is the sigh all about? Says Erica Brown, the Haggadah is asking us to recreate a story. If we are to be true actors on this vast historic stage, we have to truly embody, quite literally, what the experience of slavery was like. We all know about the beatings of slaves, but what do we know about how slaves feel about their identity and their social status and how they feel as inferior to other people? She quotes Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's now the leading spokesman for black intellectual literature. Ta-Nehisi Coates says, racism is a physical experience. It was beaten into us from the beginning of our people's emergence on America, on the soil of America. Your physical self became who we are. A people, a people who has been, branded with slavery. So Erica Brown is saying something amazing. She says the Torah specifically gave us very few words about the slavery, so you can contextualize your experience and the experience of slavery throughout every generation. You have to recreate it yourself at the Haggadah. The Torah cannot explain it. You know what? This is the part I think she's saying. The Torah cannot explain to you what the slavery was like because it will never do it justice. It'll tell you the physical acts that happened, but will never tell you the emotional headspace that everybody was going through when they felt destroyed and inferior. You have to figure out how to recreate that, either by speaking to people who go through situations in their life where they feel less than, where they feel like second-class citizens. What did that feel like? And Erica Brown says the Torah wanted you to create that emotion from the ground up. It's a fascinating shot from Dr. Erica Brown. Next.
That connects to what you said before about going out through your own Mitzrayim. Right?
The what?
Everyone goes out, you go out of your own Mitzrayim.
B'chol Dor V'Dor, Pittsburgh, amazing. B'chol Dor V'Dor means that everywhere you live, you're having a Yetziyah Mitzrayim. The challenge of the Haggadah is to see your story in there every step of the way. How you came out of a terrible moment, a situation, and you found your light, you found your freedom. That's our life. That's the essence of the Pesach Seder. We're almost done. We'll close in 5 minutes. And then there'll be, I'm sure, a smorgasbord of food coming out. Here we go. So the Rabbi Friend Haggadah. I love this idea from my friend. My friend says, why do you eat the matzah? Al shuma. And the answer is, the Haggadah tells us, because he didn't have time to make it in Mitzrayim. Why didn't you have time? Moshe told you we're going to be getting out of here soon. Why didn't you have time? Why weren't they ready? Rabbi Fran says it so nicely. He says, you know what? Moshe tells them we're going to bring a big plague coming. We're going to bring them blood. They've never seen anything. It's going to be huge. They've never seen anything like it. God brings the blood, and the Jews start packing up all their bags. They got duffel bags. They're putting in all the pashkis candy in there. They're ready to go. They're so excited. All of a sudden, Paro says, stay, you're not going anywhere. Then comes the tzvardea, the frogs, and the Jews get excited. Thank you. And the Jews get excited again. They start packing all the bags. They're packing everything. They're taking the things off the shelf. After tzvardea, the Egyptians are decimated, but they can't go anywhere. What happens after a while? You keep packing. You keep packing. I remember when the sirens, right? In Israel, when there was the threat of the Scud missiles. In Yeshiva, the first couple nights, we packed the bags. After that, you stop. You become inured. Enough. Night after night, another plague, and they stop packing. They're still not going. By the time the last plague came around, they didn't even bother. They didn't even bother to locate where their bags were anymore. Moshe then turns and says, now we go. And that's why they weren't ready with the matzah. Matzah al shuma, because of that moment they were just about to give up from ever coming out. That's the reason for the matzah and why we eat it. To remember that a Jew, at any moment, that Yeshua could come. Any moment in your life, that salvation could be right there waiting to pick you up and to save you. When you're at the brink, it's there to take you up. Right, my friend?
Why did Moshe say that first when we're going out?
No, he told them the plague is coming, it's going to decimate. So they thought, now we're going. They thought, this is going to be it, we're out. They kept projecting it. Moshe didn't necessarily know when Paro was going to give in. He didn't know yet. Okay, next. This one is amazing. It's from the Baal Shem Tov. Which one is it? Jeff, can you spot me there? Where are we at? Baal Shem Tov.
36.
34.
34. Bingo.
34.
Baal Shem Tov, it's 36.
36.
Page 13. 36, we're almost coming to the end here. 36. You, if there's one thing you remember tonight, remember this line from the Baal Shem Tov. It's a classic. Rav Shlomo Kalbach used to always quote it. I didn't put it in the packet. I'll say it to you now. The kisharoe adam eze chisaron eitzel zuloso. When you see some flaw in somebody else, simon hu, it's a sure sign that that chisaron is in you. If you notice a flaw in somebody else in their personality, you only recognize it because you have that in you. You have that tendency in you. That's and the Baal Shem Tov says it's a Mishnah in Negayim. The Mishnah Negayim says, Kol ha-Negayim om adam roya chutz menige atzmo. All afflictions a person sees except for his own. You're oblivious to your own problems. You don't see your own. You have a blind spot to your own problems. There's a line in the Gemara Bava Basra, great line. Kishot atzmacha va'achar kach kishot acherim. Fix yourself, then fix your friend. Right? Get your own clothes on first, then you'll worry about everybody else getting dressed for the simcha. Okay? Kishot atzmacha va'achar kach kishot acherim. Says the Baal Shem Tov, where the students of the Baal Shem Tov put this together based on his teachings. That's why we have motzi matzah. What does matzah mean? What does matzah umariva mean? Fighting. Motzi matzah. Take yourself out from the fighting. Get yourself out of that. Why? By bechinas rachza. Clean yourself. Rachza. Motzi matzah. You take yourself out of the fighting by cleaning yourself first. Stop trying to change everybody else around me. If this person would only be like that. If that person would only be, then I'd be happy. If that person, rachza. Wash yourself. And then motzi matzah, you pull yourself out of any quarrel and you put aside all that fighting and it's gone. Okay, one more Dvar Torah, we'll close. This one is out of left field mamish, you weren't expecting this tonight. This is from the Kuntres Atze Ya'ar by Cantor Yaakov Rosenblatt. Cantor Yaakov Rosenblatt is a local chazan here in LA. A very talented individual. He was not expecting to be in the Haggadah Shir tonight. I guarantee you that. He put out a little selection of Divrei Torah that he wrote in honor of one of the family's simchas. So it's a wonderful Dvar Torah. Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Asara Nisim Nasu Lavaseinu. There were 10 miracles done for our forefathers in the base of Migdash. One of them is that no one ever said to their friend, Tsar li hamakom b'Yerushalayim, that it's too cramped for me in Jerusalem. That was the, right, that no one ever said, Tsar li hamakom, it's too cramped for me. So asks Rabbi Cantor Rosenblatt, he says it should have followed the syntax of the rest of the Mishnah. It should have said, another line in the Mishnah says, the meat never went bad in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo hisriach basar kodesh. That formula of lo this that. It says, lo hayam, it should have said, lo hayam makom tsar. The place was never too constricted. Instead it says, tsar li hamakom. The place was too narrow. So what does it mean? And what does it mean, a person never said to their friend? Right? You hear the line? It's a funny line. No one ever told their friend, it's too cramped in here. Says Cantor Rosenblatt, unbelievable. There was such peace and harmony in Jerusalem that even when it was cramped in Yerushalayim, nobody cared. Nobody complained. You ever notice that? When you're in a good mood, when you're in a good place, the other stuff doesn't get to you. The fact there's no room, there's not a seat, you can care less. You're having a great time. Everybody's happy. The drinks are going and everyone's besimcha. Who cares there's no seat? That's what it means, no one ever said. Not that it never was cramped in Yerushalayim, but rather no one ever said to their friend, it's cramped in Yerushalayim. I think the idea to close with in the Haggadah here is that after Pesach night, we're just so happy that we've made it through, we've survived as a people. We are here to this day to tell the story and to learn together and to eat together. There's no need to complain by the end of the Seder. We just say with pride and excitement, L'shana haba Yerushalayim. Next year it should be in Yerushalayim. And we finish the Seder not with lamentations, but songs of hope, songs of joy. Chagadya, Echer ani yodea, who knows, mi yodea, who knows one? Because that's the fact. By the end of the Seder night, we're in a totally different place. We just want to sing and rejoice, Shira Shirim, and sing a song to God. I thank you all, and give you a call back again. We should make sure he gets it.
Good.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Don't move, don't move. Rabbi, we can start.
Please.